Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome, Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman, on Wednesday, July 10th. There's going to be an auction for construction and contracting equipment for wheel loaders, a water truck, skid steers, dump trucks, street sweepers, pickup trucks, portable offices, implements, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com /MHS. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me yet again.
You're welcome.
I'm not Bruce, by the way, folks who are not watching this right now.
No, but Bruce is in my heart as he is in Croatia right now. You are listening to Sean Keeler, so hit him up at Sean Keeler. Hit him up at Sean Keeler. With that, Alex, I just want to let you know, Sean and I were talking about this on the way into the station this morning, that we are going to model this morning's show after last night's presidential debate. Sean,
oh boy.
Sean is going to lie throughout the entire show, and I am not going to be able to finish my own sentences.
And I won't fact check anything back here.
That'd be perfect. That's the type of show that we are going to have today. Does that work for you, Sean? Because it was your idea.
Pat Shermer is the best play caller. He's the best. There's no one better. There's no one better than Pat Shermer. He's beautiful. He's great.
Right.
What can I say?
Right.
He's awesome. We have to get off. If I go down this rabbit hole, never let sports guys talk politics. Never let politics guys talk sports. If there's a live mic, I think that's fair.
Well, here's the thing. And back in the day, I would go on social media and talk politics a lot. And people brought up some pretty good points to me, which is, this is our release. We want to, in theory, be entertained and informed. Let us get away from it. But I'm going to tell you a quick nugget, because you knew Les Shapiro very well. And he was my radio partner for over 5 years. This is how I knew Les was going through a very difficult time with his cancer. When he started to go off on politics on social media. Because honestly, it was I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to die. And I just don't care what you think.
I was going to say, I don't give, you know what.
Correct.
Here it is.
And there were times where I would call him and say, how are you feeling? And he would say, not great. And I'd say, I know you're not feeling great today. He goes, well, how do you know that? I said, because you just went on this whole rant about politics, and I know why you're doing it. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Clean sweep for Nathan MacKinnon, top two NHL awards, won the Hart Trophy as the MVP, voted on by the writers, won the Ted Lindsay Award, most outstanding player, voted on by the players, also named for the first time, first team All-Star, Cale Makar named to the second team. All right, this is the time of the season, because we have no Nuggets, really, although we have Nuggets news. We have no Avalanche, although we're talking ironically about the Avalanche. We have the Rockies, no reason to really address them. And the Broncos aren't doing anything. So let's do some list radio here. Where does MacKinnon rank now with these two significant awards amongst the all-time great Avs?
I think the way that the MVP, multiple MVP conversation moved Jokic into number one all-time, and the title, obviously. Yeah. I think this moves him lockstep into number two. And then the battle.
Behind who?
Behind Sackett.
No.
Okay. Okay, good. Here we go.
No, we're
going to debate this.
No,
though. Go back to the Trump. No. I have to do the underarm to do the Trump voice.
No, let's not do Trump. With that, when I tell you, when I say who's ahead of him, I agree Sackett's ahead of him. Patrick Waugh is the greatest Av player of all time.
Three. You put him three.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Waugh is number one.
Yeah.
Waugh is arguably the greatest goaltender to ever play hockey.
Yeah.
Period. I mean, you could choose probably from three or four guys when it comes to greatest goaltender of all time.
Lafleur.
Who?
Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur was a center. Patrick Waugh, Martin Brodeur, Dominic Hasek, and then if you want to go back in the day, pick a Canadiens goaltender, right? Those would probably be your choices. So, and we all know how important the position is at goaltender.
I meant LaPlante.
Oh, Jacques LaPlante.
No, let's say LaPlante.
Right. With that, MacKinnon has a way to go to catch Sakic. However, if I had to start a team today, watching Joe's career and looking at Nathan MacKinnon, I'd pick Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon can do more things. MacKinnon shoots out of a cannon. MacKinnon, I don't want to say is a better player than Joe Sakic, but I covered both guys. I watched both play. I didn't watch Joe in his prime in 96 and 2001. But Joe could not do things that Nathan can. When it comes to quick hands, Joe is one of the greatest of all time when it comes to that. Joe was a better leader than Nathan MacKinnon. So there are positives and negatives, certainly, about both guys. I've been told stories, and I've told Bruce this, and you've only been here 5 years, so you know Joe, but you didn't cover Joe.
Right.
You
certainly, as a player, right.
Certainly watched him from afar.
Right.
Joe is the type of guy that in a tie game, he would just mosey on by the bench and look at the guys and very calmly say, "I got this." And inevitably, he did. He would always find a way to score the game-winning goal. He was that confident in himself. But when you're looking at pure, raw skill, MacKinnon is the greatest player in Avalanche history outside of the goaltender position.
It's the argument we talked about yesterday with Peyton Watson, and we'll get to the Nuggets later, I know, but of skill set, combined skills, you know, raw stuff versus production.
Right.
Although Nathan MacKinnon is closing that gap a little on production. Now, maybe not the clutch. Maybe not all the things that Super Joe did as a player. But, yeah, the raw stuff, it's Nathan MacKinnon. The production stuff, it's Joe Sakic. And the best at his position is Patrick Waugh. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Although, here's the funny thing. When it's all said and done, the greatest player of all time might be Cale Makar. Because of position. And honestly, if I'm drafting a team right now, if I could pick any player on the Avs roster who I would take, it would be Makar. Because of the value of that position and what he does. I would take Makar all day over MacKinnon. I can find a forward. I might not be able to find a forward as great as MacKinnon. Mm-hmm. But MacKinnon, he hasn't had like this whole dump truck full of 100-point seasons like a Connor McDavid. He has picked up fire recently. He was an excellent player early on in his career, but now he is starting to get into his groove. Cale Makar is going to go down, barring injury, as one of the top three or four defensemen to ever play this game.
Right.
Ever. Joe Sakic is not one of the top three or four forwards to ever play this game, and MacKinnon won't be that guy either.
It's positional bias.
It is.
And the rarity in the way you talk about, again, the goaltender argument, that he was better relative to his position in the case of Patrick Waugh.
Right.
And Cale Makar also isn't the raw athlete, whatever, that Nathan.
No, he is.
In terms of skating, yeah.
Yes, he is.
Not speed. But you could make that argument back and forth. But if you asked 9 out of 10 executives, they're taking Makar first.
Because
you don't get what he does in a defenseman.
He is the
generationally, you just don't.
He is the closest thing to Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
He's the closest thing.
And
now,
even Gretzky says that, and then you go, okay, that's right? A pretty good source.
Right.
We'll take that.
Right.
That's a good scout.
I mean, Paul Coffey was a great scorer.
Very good.
But he was a different type of defenseman. I mean, you have a guy who can go end-to-end that effortlessly. But MacKinnon does that clearly as well. Something else, and this is historical. The last time there was an MVP from the same city in two different sports, specifically the NBA and NHL, Magic Johnson and Wayne Gretzky. This year, it is McKinnon and Jokic. So with that, let's play some List Radio here because it's the slow time of the season. That's what we do. McKinnon, Jokic, who wins the Hart and who wins the Ted Lindsay? They're two different things. One is for the MVP. One is for the most outstanding player. Jokic, McKinnon, who gets each award? Do one of those guys get both awards?
I split it up, and I thought about this question a bit because it's a good one. We're parsing greatness into the vacation season. I think you take Jokic away from the Nuggets.
Yes.
So most valuable,
correct,
goes to Jokic, and I think the most outstanding performer, I split them, would go to McKinnon, although you could make a case to flip that argument either way. That's where I would put it.
No, I wouldn't even flip it. I don't even think you can make that case. I don't think you can make that case. You take McKinnon off this team would not be as good, clearly.
A drop.
But they would not crumble.
Wouldn't just fall off a map.
Everything does not go through Nathan McKinnon.
No.
Everything does go through Nikola Jokic. And that's how I would split it up, obviously, as well. Anyway, so congratulations to Nathan McKinnon. Mm-hmm. Joe Sakic, he did the daily double back in the 2000-2001 season. Peter Forsberg, he has won one of those awards in the past. But for Nathan McKinnon to pass Joe Sakic, he needs another Stanley Cup, might need another MVP. But the sheer volume of numbers that Joe put up for the amount of time that he played, McKinnon has a way to go.
So that I'm clear, do you put Waugh second or Waugh first among all-time Avs?
Waugh's a clear number one.
Okay, so he's your number one. Sakic is your number
one. He's a clear number one. Clear number one. Now, this is the argument that you will get all the time. Eric, you're wrong. And the reason why you're wrong is because Patrick Waugh only played here for a certain amount of time. And I am going to side with the guy who played his whole career here. I am also the guy that will say, and I'm about to say, and I don't back off on this at all, the greatest quarterback to ever put on a Broncos jersey for at least 4 years was Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning's career mirrors Patrick Waugh. Two of Manning's greatest seasons ever came in a Broncos uniform. He led them to two Super Bowls. Actually, I take that back. He led them to one. He stumbled towards the other.
Yeah.
Okay. If we're being completely honest here, right? No, but Patrick Waugh, if Patrick Waugh doesn't get into a fight with his head coach in Montreal, I'm not so sure the Avs win two cups. I don't even know if the Avs win one cup. He was the backstop for that.
Yeah. He put this franchise got on the map so fast.
Yes.
In a town where winning is revered and winning is your bar. That's how you, Denver looks at sports from the top down.
I will
not the bottom up, unless it's the Rockies and we have to look at whatever we can.
I will take you back to a guy that you probably know personally. He used to write for the Denver Post, Drew Linton.
Mm-hmm.
You know Drew?
Not well, but.
Okay. Yeah. Never met him.
Right.
Great cartoonist.
Mm, fabulous.
And the greatest cartoon, and I've been here for 20 years, that he ever designed, wrote, was something that he did before I even got here. And that is a picture of Joe Sakic sleeping in a bed. Are you familiar with this one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's the greatest one of all time. Joe Sakic sleeping in a bed on his nightstand is the Stanley Cup. And outside, looking in the window at Joe Sakic, is John Elway. Joe Sakic won a title before John Elway. Joe Sakic brought the first major title to Denver before John Elway. And that's something. You should look that up. It's probably not hard to find.
Right.
Coming up after the break, Nuggets, looks like they're about to spend some money on Jamal Murray. Nuggets, looks like they're not going to let money get in the way and probably let KCP walk. Money, when it comes to the Nuggets, Reggie, We got to get rid of you, and now we have to throw things in to dump you. That's next.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Sean Keeler, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, July 10th. There's an auction for construction and contracting equipment. For wheel loaders, a water truck, skid steers, dump trucks, portable offices, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, it's going to be a gorgeous weekend. Why not go up to Broomfield, Siltahar Mazda, and go for a test drive when it comes to Mazdas? They are ranked top five in affordability, reliability, fuel economy. Checks all those boxes right now. If you want a few more boxes checked, how about luxury and durability? They really do have it all. Right now at Siltahar Mazda, you're going to get great financing options on many of their models. Get to Broomfield today for a test drive or check them out at sthmazda.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by the Edingfield Agency. Whether it's term, whole life, IUL, annuities, or anything else that fits your needs, go with Eric Sky, Kevin Edingfield, at kevinedingfield.com.
And, of course, joining us in studio today, like you did yesterday, Sean Keeler, the terrific columnist for the Denver Post. All right, Sean, according to multiple reports, Nuggets working on a deal to lock up Jamal Murray. Four-year deal, $206 million biggins. Who's getting the better end of this one?
On where the market is now, Jamal, on where the market is going to be, which is the ultimate answer, the Nuggets. If I kind of pulled up the guard earnings chart, and this would put him, I think, under current contracts.
Where's the radio host earning chart?
It's a little bit down. Spot Rack doesn't keep one of those.
Spot Rack.
It's below the journalist, print journalist earning one.
Eric signed a four-year deal for $30,000, not per year, total.
Total. $51 million.
My signing bonus was a gift certificate to McDonald's.
And some RC Cola.
Right.
50.
RC, well RC, done. Not Tab.
No, not Tab. RC, I think well Tab's done. Dead. $51 million would put him per spot rack on AAV fourth in this current market. So
yeah.
That's fair if a little high, but where it's good for the Nuggets and seeing where this is going is that the next extension SGA signs is going to be $70-80 million.
Yeah.
So compared to SGA money, it's a bargain. Compared to the market, it's fair.
Well, it's a bargain, but SGA is better than Jamal Murray.
Oh, yeah.
SGA should be paid more.
And everybody ahead of Murray now, which would just be Steph, Booker, and Dame, are better.
People are going to disagree with me, and that's totally cool. Bring it. Jamal Murray's not elite. He's very, very good, but he is not elite. He's not a top 5 point guard in this league, is he?
No. And his peers don't think so, which is the whole all-star thing. Right. Now it's a loaded
Western Conference. Unlike
defensemen in the NHL, it's a loaded deal.
Or is it, do you really separate point guard from guard from shooting guard? Or is it just guard?
I put guard because he's tricky and that he's one of those new age combo things. Scoring guard, the way that, you know, he's not Stockton, Tim Hardaway kind of thing where he's pass first
right. And
do that. So you have to kind of split the difference. But yeah, in that kind, you know, he's in the Steph mode where, I'm a threat too. And is he as good as Steph? No. Is he on that level? No. So, right now, that feels good for Murray. It feels fair. And ultimately, if the market pushes back, it'll probably feel pretty good to Calvin Booth.
Jamal Murray is worth bringing back.
Yes.
I mean, the tandem of Jokic and Murray is still one of the best in the league. With that, they had to bring him back, period. And they had to bring him back because this is not Murray's window. This is Jokic's window. And you cannot let him walk and start all over again. Right?
No.
Right? It's kind of like a quarterback. Like, here, is Dak Prescott a top five quarterback in this league? No. Is Trevor Lawrence a top 10 quarterback in this league? What do you want to do? Start all over again and let him walk? That's why Trevor Lawrence got the money that he did. Did he deserve it? Hell no. He didn't deserve that type of money, but he got it because Jacksonville doesn't want to start all over again. It's kind of like, what are you going to do? You hope the guy gets better. And I'm not talking about Jamal Murray. I'm talking about a Trevor Lawrence. And same thing with Dak Prescott. He's coming up on a new deal, right? What are you going to do? Let him walk? Or maybe the Cowboys draft Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I was going to say. There may be a master plan there that involves our favorite family here in Colorado. Yeah, Jokic is
the first family.
The first family of Colorado.
Right.
Sorry.
Right. Not Polis and his partner.
No, it's the Sanders.
It's the Sanders.
Yeah.
Family. Well, they get paid. Well, Deion gets paid more than Polis.
Yeah. Jokic is Brady, Mahomes, and now you do that pairing. At least you have to give him his Gronk. And give him his Kelsey. And that's Murray's function more or less than this. So it's kind of a no-brainer. It's again, fair for where the market is. And, again, it ain't broke. It's got holes, and it's got problems that we've discussed and we will, but it ain't broke. And you don't try to fix something that isn't broke in the first place.
So now KCP, in the meantime, has opted out of his contract. No surprise there. They saved about $5 million. Reggie Jackson is not going to be coming back. We'll talk more about him later on in the show. Do you believe that the Nuggets should find a way to bring back KCP or let him walk? I mean, Calvin Booth said, we'll be fine without him. I mean, that was quite a statement, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing, but basically that's what he said.
He said, we'll be fine. If it's me, I try to find a way for reasons we've talked about because the Nuggets got here, moved from good to excellent, good to a title, contender to a crown because they had two very good 3-and-D guys.
Right.
And you've lost one, you're on the verge of losing another, and you haven't really replaced either of them. You have guys who can shoot threes, and you have guys who can play D, but you don't have both in what Bruce Brown and KCP gave you. I would go as far as I could. I think the Nuggets, that number, I think, the math is something like $19.2 million is probably what they could do right now and stay in that apron range and not feel terribly taxed out from this. But the market, unfortunately, seems to say, which similar to the Bruce thing, take whatever you think they're worth and add about 30% to go crazy, that he could get $24, $25 million per.
Oh, yeah.
And this feels like, as we've also talked about, this is his money contract. He's got the rings. Now it's about getting the bling. And if that's the case, I don't see the Nuggets matching that, wanting to match that.
What do you think is a bigger deal in hindsight if KCP walks? Losing him or losing Bruce Brown?
I'm going to say losing Bruce.
And I would too.
Even though that's a good, because it's a starter and all the rest of it, but everything.
Bruce Brown was good enough to be a starter.
And when you took Bruce out of that, everything that seemed to fit in that rotation started to just shift a little, and you never quite got that back. And you're going to have that again if you move Christian Brown into that starting role. And that's always been my problem, never mind that he doesn't replicate KCP like for like. The energy's there. The defense is coming there.
With who?
With Brown. With Christian Brown.
Oh, Christian Brown.
Christian Brown. A-U-N, not O-W-N.
Right. I wish his parents would have just done us a favor, or his ancestors, and just made it easier for all of us.
Back to the...
What are you doing? Braun. Is Braun.
Yeah, Kansans.
Come on.
Kansans do things. I'm married to a Kansan. They do things, yeah.
Oh, did you lose a bet?
Yeah, I did. Rock Chalk, they're problematic. You have some things.
Oh, no, it's K-State territory.
It's a thing. It's a thing. So, yeah, but the thing is Christian's not. CB's not that guy. He was not BB. And he's not KCP. And the problem...
And you know me. I'm done with OPP.
And regardless of which we play the initial game, it's you don't necessarily have to find like for like, but you're not getting at the aggregate either, and that's the problem. And that's going to be the problem, as we talked about yesterday, with the West, where the water is rising to meet you and it's now passing you. You're sinking. And you're not bad. You're not sinking like, oh, sinking. You're sinking in a tough, tough ocean.
You know, as you were just talking, something just occurred to me as you were saying, he's not better here, he's not better there, yada, yada, yada. If you think about this logically, is Christian Brown a better defensive player than KCP? Right now?
Not right now.
Is he a better three-point shooter?
Not remotely. Although statistically they were close, air quotes. And they were, but not in the postseason, not when it counted.
Right.
It's the eye test. If there's stats, there's the eye test.
So you're taking a step back.
Absolutely. Yep.
How big of a step back? And how big of a step back today, but 3-4 years from now, do you project much better, meaning he's KCP and better? How would you project this?
I think losing Brown and Bruce Brown and KCP back-to-back is 2 to 2.5 full steps back to where you're taking maybe one step forward. And Calvin Booth's math, and we've talked about this, is in 3 years, I'm going to take 3 steps forward from this for my 2 steps back now. I don't think, given that Nikola Jokic is pushing 30, you should try to do that kind of math. I think that's risky.
But it's a CBA thing.
But it is CBA thing. And he's looking at the system and going, I have 3 maxes and I can't move. I got a Hall of Famer and I've got a Hall of Very Gooder who plays great with the Hall of Famer. Those guys have to be taken care of. And then I will make my decisions. And my number 3 contract for my guy is not really, in the case of MPJ, back to the initials game, is not really a number 3 guy, but that's the contract I'm stuck with. If I can't move it, now I've got to figure out all these other pieces around it.
You and I spoke about this yesterday because it was off your column a couple of days ago. You said Calvin Booth isn't going to make a move because of fear.
No. Let me clarify that.
Sure.
Did you pin me on that? And that's fine.
No, you wrote it.
I know I wrote it. I said
you were misquoted.
No, I said number one thing. No, look, yeah. This is what I said. Number one thing the Nuggets have to worry about, that are concerned about, is the CBA.
Right.
The number 2 thing that they could be worried about, I said, is fear. Not that they are afraid.
Right.
Is that the one thing that they can't be worried about is to be afraid.
I don't think they are afraid.
And I don't think they are.
No.
And to that point, the Reggie trade, which we'll get into, is a whole nother, you know, kettle of fish.
I think that, by the way, how often are fish in a kettle? And why do people say that? It's like raining cats and dogs. What the hell does that mean? Kettle, fish in a kettle. What does that mean?
It sounded good in the Romanian in which it originally came out.
We'll talk more about this after the break. But we'll also get into Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson is this year's version of Brock Osweiler. That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Sean Keeler, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, July 10th. There's an auction for construction and contracting equipment, stuff like wheel loaders, a water truck, street sweepers, pickup trucks, portable offices, implements, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word. Not the final word, what's trending?
What's trending? Presented by Silterhar Mazda. Get to Silterhar in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silterhar Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Well, the Nuggets did what the Houston Texans did many years ago with Brock Osweiler. They wanted him gone. So in order to unload salary, the Texans included draft picks. That's what the Nuggets did with Reggie Jackson. He has gone to Charlotte. Really good guy, local guy, good teammate, good player, but not good enough for $5 million a year, where at the end of the day, the Nuggets need to find a way to shed salary. So Jackson goes to Charlotte with, not four, with, not four, with three unprotected second-round picks. Boy, the Nuggets are giving away second-round picks like a guy in a white van with no windows gives away candy on the playground. How do you like the way I went there? It's Friday. It's F-around Friday.
It really is.
Yeah, that was pathetic.
Who values their second-round picks least, if we're going to make a digression? The Lakers or the Nuggets?
Which is ironic, considering the greatest second-round pick of all time was a guy who didn't star in a Taco Bell commercial, but he's forever linked to Taco Bell. How would you feel if you were Reggie, knowing that the team traded you, and then in order to trade you, they had to give up more capital? How would you feel about that? Granted, you're getting the $5 million. You still get to play in the NBA. But what kind of shot to your ego is that?
I feel like an old Ford F-150. One of those, I think it was the most moved used car in America last year. You'd feel like that. Like, great. You're a commodity, right? And this was a salary dump. I think he'd be realistic about it. He wouldn't feel great. He lived a dream. He was a good soldier while he was here. And here's the good news for Reggie Jackson. All we're going to really remember, I mean, there'll be complaints about the ups and downs, is the ring. He's forever a champion here. And that sounds cliche, but it is true. So if anything, actually, you might be like, well, it didn't end great, but it ended with the great. I got to live through one of the greatest moments this state and city ever had. And
so, with that, when you look at the roster, who's backing up Jamal? Is it Jalen Pickett? Is it Colin Gillespie? Is it a guy who's not on the roster yet? What are you doing?
It's probably a guy who's not on the roster yet, but on paper, is the Michael Malone thing about let's go get a veteran and make that work. This is going to be a great minimum veteran shopping season for the Nuggets and who they've got to turn in. It's on paper, though, it's Pickett right now, and he wanted more PT. We were kind of told scuttlebutt-wise last year, and it wasn't thrilled. Some of his reps said with how that kind of worked out, you know, again, the whole Michael Malone and rookies thing. On paper, he's going to get a shot, or whoever he's competing with off the waiver wire is who he's going to have to fight to get that shot. There's their rolling the dice. They're going to take that gamble that we can do better, or at least do comparable in the aggregate money-wise, and save ourselves some bucks, because we've got some hard financial decisions to make.
You kind of get the feeling that Calvin Booth's going to pretty much go all in with his young guys.
Well, what's the Moneyball parallel? We try to avoid that, hoping it's not as bad as that in the movie. But this was a little bit of, you can't play Pena. Why can't he play Pena?
Right.
Because he plays for the Tigers
now.
What
the hell do you want Hatteberg for?
Yeah, what do you want Hatteberg for?
Look at his OPS.
Yeah, there's some Scott Hatteberg coming here. We don't like to make that parallel. But boy, if there were some Billy Bean moves out of this is one of them too. You've got to play him because he's all you have. In the case of Pickett, yeah.
I think that, and we're going to get back to something we talked about in the last segment, and I know you didn't mean Calvin Booth is fearful, but I think that he is married to his plan. And his plan is, last year I loaded up as much as I could on draft picks. We believe in how we draft and develop. Unlike the Rockies, we believe that we have guys that we can develop. And when you look at the history of Michael Malone, is Calvin Booth really wrong? Would Nikola Jokic truly be the player he is today if it wasn't for Michael Malone? I'm not going to give Michael Malone too much credit, but he developed Nikola Jokic. He developed Jamal Murray. He developed Michael Porter Jr. He has helped develop, obviously, Christian Brown. They're very good at drafting, at least historically. They do have a title, and Christian Brown was a big part of that. Jokic obviously was the centerpiece, but they did it with draft picks. They did it with draft picks. It's not like the Golden State Warriors where, for lack of a better phrase, Mark Jackson developed Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and then Steve Kerr stepped in. This is Michael Malone. This is Adelman. This is Chris Finch. All those guys. I don't want to say Chris Finch. I meant the entire Timberwolves coaching staff. Right. So I think that's the plan moving forward. I don't know who else they're going to pick up. Maybe Gordon Hayward. Maybe they'll pick up a veteran.
Yeah. The more you've got to spend at the top, the more time you have to spend. You don't want to say scraping, but kind of salary-wise, trying to make that math work from the bottom end. Yeah, I mean, it is remarkable when you frame it in that context. How did we get here? These stars were drafted and developed.
Yep.
And they grew their own. In a case where and to their credit, the Rockies 8 years ago kind of did that too. There was a formula to follow. The personalities of the people doing it were kind of reprehensible and not desirable, but that was the right idea. Here, I'm going to say it on record. Jeff Breidich and that group had the right idea.
What was their idea?
Grow your own.
That's always been the case.
Right, but that they were the last one.
That goes way back to the end of the
But that's the last ones they executed then. Because now it's still
Jeff Breidich gets no credit. Zero.
There's some there.
No, zero.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Give me a guy outside of Germán Márquez, which was a trade. Give me one person that, for the teams that went to the playoffs, give me one guy Breidich put on there besides Márquez. One. They were all O'Dowd guys. All of them. Every single one. All O'Dowd guys. All of them.
LeMahieu?
O'Dowd.
Arenado?
O'Dowd.
Freeland?
O'Dowd.
Okay.
All of them. They were all O'Dowd. All of them. I mean, I've been here 20 years, so I'm familiar enough with... And by the way, full disclosure, I'm a fan of Dan O'Dowd. He and I are very friendly. Mm-hmm. Just go look at the guys. Bill Schmidt gets nothing. Bill Schmidt is a train wreck. Bill Schmidt wouldn't get an interview with 31 Major League Baseball teams. Would not get an interview, more or less get the job.
Right.
Breidich was so arrogant. When they went to the playoffs, what, 2018, 2019?
17 and 18.
Go look at the roster.
Yeah.
And I'll show you all O'Dowd guys. All of them.
To make this germane of the argument, though.
Freeland might not be an O'Dowd guy. I'm going to look this up.
All right.
We get some thinking music here, please?
Okay. But anyway, while you're looking that up to this point, the thing for the Nuggets then is now you've got to get that. And hey, let's bring this back to the Rockies.
Yep.
Where the Rockies have fallen short is where they made waves, whoever made them, there was a wave 15 to 18 of guys that were your core. And then you let them all go or you had to move on from them. The Nuggets built this core of a championship through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's that second wave?
Right.
The Rockies' second wave has never come. Maybe it'll be Dollander, maybe it'll be whoever.
Oh.
But it didn't come yet.
Freeland, O'Dowd.
Okay, there you go.
That was his last draft.
Regardless, the parallel is the Rockies' wave hasn't come. The second one that you have to supplant, and thus you're in the toilet for
wave of Rockies wave.
Fine, core, whatever. The unit of core of your own homegrown players, use the noun you want. Okay, I'll say wave. But regardless, the point stands that the Nuggets have to have this core, second core, supplemental core,
I agree.
Hit the way that the championship core absolutely hit to sustain this. And so far, to our points where we are in tandem, it hasn't. And maybe it will, but it hasn't yet.
I'm going to go on a quick rant about the Rockies here. Okay? Quick rant.
I'm so stupid to bring
When it comes to drafting and developing, what are the Rockies supposedly really good at? It's not pitching. So you have one other option. They're really good at position players, right? Yeah. Look at the power outage they have in their lineup. It is dreadful. They only have two guys who are projected to hit more than 10 home runs this year.
Right.
So they're not good at that either, apparently.
How can a team in this ballpark, in this environment, not grow its own first baseman.
And a lot of these guys aren't even good enough to hit doubles consistently.
Right.
And this is a,
no, you're right.
It is more of a doubles park than it is a home run park.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
They have two guys, Tovar and McMahon, who have double-digit home runs right now.
Right.
Other than that, you have guys sitting at 4 home runs, 5 home runs.
Yeah.
They don't even have power guys in their lineup.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
With Bronny James selected yesterday, we are set to see the first ever father-son teammates in NBA history. Ooh. And how disappointing was USA's loss to Panama yesterday? That's up next on Morning Drive on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, mileysports.com. You can reach us, Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Sean Keeler, at Eric Goodman on Wednesday, July 10th. There's an auction for construction and contracting equipment, including a water truck, skid steers, dump trucks, street sweepers, pickup trucks, and more. Auction is open at rollerauction.com. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just In Case You Missed It, presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Alrighty, guys. Before yesterday, there had never been a father-son duo playing in the NBA at the same time. Now the first father-son pair is set to be teammates after the Lakers selected Bronny James with the 55th pick. Bronny, 6'1", 210 pounds. He averaged just under 5 points, just under 3 rebounds, and 2.1 assists in 19 minutes per game in his lone season at USC. What were your overall takeaways from the Lakers selecting Bronny James?
The Lakers are not a serious organization. I mean, it's cute. It's fun. It's going to make some award-winning video and written pieces about their journey. Does it make the Lakers better in any way?
Well, with the 55th pick, usually your team get better with the 55th pick?
But when you've only got 2 picks, shouldn't you try to get better? Isn't the point of the capital and what little acquisitions you can, what few acquisitions you can make
if you use
to try to maximize?
If you used a first-round pick on him, that's one thing. One of the last picks in the draft.
Sentimental dad talk. Look at you.
No, it's not. And oh, by the way, let's not go down the nepotism road. Because
in this market, no.
Because if you want to go down the nepotism road, let's look at the Nuggets coaching staff. Would Michael Malone be in the NBA if it wasn't for Brendan? Would David Adelman be in the league if it wasn't for his dad? Would Kyle Shanahan be the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers if it wasn't for his dad? Please, let's not go down the nepotism road. One area where we got screwed on nepotism was Nathaniel Hackett.
It doesn't always, the apple doesn't always stay close enough to the tree to make it work. We'll see if this does.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, there's a 4th of July luxury appliance event. It is underway right now. It goes through July 10th. So it's not just, you know, for the 4th of July. This is a long event. And the event is when you buy a luxury appliance like Decor, Gen Air, Lofra, Marvel, Monogram, Signature, Kitchen Suite, or Thermador, you're going to pay no interest for 18 months. With approved financing, if paid in full, with a minimum purchase of $499. I got some stuff from Mountain High Appliance, went over to their clearance center. Bruce did the same thing. High-end appliances, and if you go to that clearance center, it's called Scratch and Ding Stuff. And I say this all the time. Okay, so my washer has a scratch on it. My clothes are clean and you still have bloodstains. That's the difference. I can live with the scratch because the appliances are so good there. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, the city of Denver has made history. Not since 1989 this has happened. That's next.